We're just going to move now to our top story, the announcement of the formation of a new government in Tunisia. The President, Kais Saied, is speaking now. Let's take a listen in.
Run deep. To confront those who attack the state and its institutions and the Tunisian people. Today, and within the context of these exceptional measures, I warn. And that comes after several previous warnings to all those who entertain the idea of attacking the state and its institutions, or the people and their property. We will thwart their plans for the coming days. It is still being said that it took me a long time to announce a new cabinet, as if the problem was in forming a new cabinet.
وتونس لم تكن لها حكومة إلى حدود سنة 69 و 900 ألف تم ذكر الحكومة.
Tunisia didn't have a government till 1969. كان هناك كتاب دولة. There were only senior state officials. كتاب الدولة. And there was a council for these senior officials.
من الخرج تكوين الحكومة. وما دخلهم في تكوين الحكومة.
What have they got to do with forming a cabinet or choosing members of the cabinet? We are not controlled by anyone. But because the Constitution stipulates that there should be a government, we have announced a new government. And we've done that faster than they had expected. That is, after giving the mandate to Her Excellency, the head of the government, the first of its kind in Tunisia and other Arab countries, and it's a great honor to the Tunisian woman. Tunisian woman is not a cosmetic to make the institutions look more, to embellish institutions. I did not speed up, or neither was I late, because the issue is not related to a cabinet, but to the entire system, and a system that still exists, that has been there for tens of years. Each single element consolidates the other, so that the system would continue to operate to serve various lobbies. The people wanted to bring down that system. I'm not walking through following a mirage or without a clear vision. It's a national liberation battle. And God willing, we will prevail. And those who fight should know who are their faithful friends before those who stab him in the back and betray him.
كان الخامس والعشرون من شهر جويلية الماضي.
25th of July was an historic moment in the full sense of the word.
في مساء ذلك اليوم.
And I, on that evening, I took the decision that you're now aware of.
بعد أن
I took that decision after I tried by all means to return them to their reason, and after urging them to take full responsibility, but it was all in vain. I took that decision alone in front of God. What am I going to tell God on the Day of Judgment when I see the Tunisians dying every day by disease, hunger? And talking of disease, Tunisia has achieved a miracle thanks to the efficiency and the competence. Within 3 weeks, after people were dying every day, tens of them, thanks to Tunisian people, men and women, and its forces, its military forces and security forces, and thanks to its doctors and the civilian sector and the youth, I will never forget the girl who was no older than 13 years old at a secondary school, how she urged Tunisian men and women to get organized and wait. She was a miracle. It was a miracle that the Tunisian people has achieved on this issue. After the news was only about the number of those who had contracted the infection and those who died, thanks to all those people who contributed to that effort, civilian officials, doctors, those who have achieved this miracle today. They want the vaccine, and they can choose which type of vaccine. All of you know, and they all have seen what happened on the 25th of July, how the people took to the streets in various parts of the country, and even abroad. They took to the streets because they felt there was hope again after the nightmares that had weighed heavily on the minds of the people. After the 25th of July, I noticed with a great deal of pain how people changed positions. People were trying to seize various opportunities from those who were waiting for an opportunity. But there were those who cheered them on. And after that, they became an opposition. After their joy, they changed their joy to grief and frustration. And they started to demand to return to what there was between 25th of July, to a formal, nominal legitimacy that was tailored to suit their purposes, like a pair of shoes. And they paid the money. And they continued to change their positions. And that is how they portray the situation as if it was a coup. How could it be called a coup based on a constitutional, on the constitution, after I had consulted the head of the government and the head of the parliament in line with the constitution? These were exceptional measures stipulated by the Constitution. in case there is an imminent danger, but the danger continues and is still there. Should we leave the country and the people? For the lions and the hyenas to attack. It was a dark night. But light has started to emerge on the evening of the 25th of July. Light has started to shine on the land. Today I have brought you some pictures for those who wish to forget, and I want the photographers to turn the cameras to this picture. This is a picture of the parliament. Have they forgotten that? Another picture for the parliament. Can't they see that? Another picture for the parliament. Can't they see what was going on? Another picture for the parliament. Have they forgotten that? And yet, another picture. There was blood inside the parliament. Have they forgotten the blood? Have they forgotten what happened during the past 2 years without anything? Having achieved nothing except ratifying some treaties and three bills let them look at these pictures. Well, look at these pictures well. That is how it looked inside the parliament. Yesterday they wanted to go back to this situation that prevailed inside the parliament. Swear words, blood, verbal abuse inside the House of Representatives. And this is what happened to one of the women members of parliament after it was rescued by the police. They have their own agendas. Under these dark circumstances, given this tragic picture, and that is only a tiny portion of a much bigger picture. Poverty, misery, were increasing day by day. And the pandemic was killing people. And those who were supposed to represent the people, and I'm not talking about everyone, but those who stood firm, but those were spending the days in hotels. They were spending millions and suitcases full of money coming from abroad were entering the country every day without prior permission. Despite that, they They find it in themselves to say they were working for achieving the goals of the revolution and fighting corruption.
That was the Tunisian President Kais Saied announcing the new government and revealing a new cabinet. The swearing-in ceremony has been completed a short time ago in the capital. He says that they've done it in, quote, a faster-than-expected time. He also spoke about the selection of women. There are 24 members of his new government, including seven women. Saied abruptly dismissed the Prime Minister and assumed all executive powers in July 25th. And he said he was seeking to save the country from a deteriorating economic, political and health crisis. For more on this story now, let's bring in our guest, Simon Speakman, who's in Tunis. He's an independent journalist. Simon, what do you make of this swearing-in ceremony and his picks today?
Well, like so much, it's been sprung on us with very little warning. I've been going through the list of ministers now, and it seems a broadly competent government. A lot of the heavy lifting is going to have to be done by the finance minister, Sehem Boutheri. Now, quickly looking at her background, she seems to be an economist. She's worked in the Ministry of Finance, and she has a lot of work ahead of her. I think based on past conversations with various diplomats, they were really looking for at this position above all else. The appointment to the prime minister was very important. It was a big step forward, but it wasn't the vital, you know, part of the puzzle that they were looking for. That was the finance minister. My understanding is that with a good finance minister teamed with the head of the central bank, who they have faith in, that's a guy called Mourin Abbasi, that's going to be the team that they will deal with to maybe get the economy moving, talk to the IMF, negotiate the international loans, and perhaps move forward with the economy that Tunisia desperately needs. In the meantime, as we saw yesterday, there is perhaps something of a groundswell against the president, though that remains in the minority. There were certainly thousands of protesters within the city centre yesterday protesting against his July the 25th power grab.
Simon, thank you for that. The president said in that speech, I'm not sure if you heard, but he said that it was they've achieved somewhat of a miracle. What do you think he meant by that?
That he has actually managed to progress to this stage. I remember I went to the parliament on July the 26th. That's the day after President Saied announced his extraordinary measures. And I'm sorry about the noise. And I was told by army officers there that they were expecting a chief of government that day. You know, we're now in October and we've finally got a government, which might mean that this country can start moving again. I mean, it sorely needs to.
What do you make of the timing? I mean, you did mention it just briefly then, but, you know, this has been happening since July. What's the sort of mood on the ground there from Tunisian people and also from, you know, the likes of fellow journalists and politicians?
Well, frustration and impatience, I think, would be the key things. I mean, we journalists talk, we talk to politicians, we talk to, you know, yesterday at the manifestation, people in the crowd, and nobody has really understands what's going on. In July the 25th, we thought we were seeing part of this very sort of three-dimensional chess, intricate chess game. And now, October, that's not the case. He seems to be moving very slowly. Until now, he's not mentioned the economy, and that is one of the vital issues. I mean, this is his greatest risk, and it's also possibly a great opportunity. I think that the protest yesterday was a factor, but I would not say a deciding factor. These names, these people had all been interviewed long in the past, and he had assembled them. It seems, I mean, though it's very early days, a fairly reasonable team. I would need to do some more studying.
Well, we look forward to more updates. Thank you for your insights there. Simon Speakman, who's live for us in Tunis, an independent journalist.